It's Tuesday, June 10th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we continue in Matthew chapter 15 with verses 21 through 28 with part one of a message titled, Jesus Showcases a True Israelite.
The religion of the scribes and the Pharisees is altogether a different religion than that of Jesus's. It was not the religion that came from God. You all know the superficial, external stuff has been very hard on the church's mission and witness. We have a label for it. We call it Phariseeism. What we do then is important to study this to see how this religion shows up naturally in the human heart. Well, if you're visiting this morning, we are continuing our study in the Gospel of Matthew. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and that's found on page 975 in the Bibles that are in front of you. As I've been trying to show you in Matthew, there's a sort of running narrative here that the chapter breaks in sections as we have them in our Bibles, which aren't inspired, the breaks and the chapters, you can miss the connections. And very important is the connection today between what we studied last time with the issue of the tradition of the elders and then the faith of the Canaanite woman. So our text will be verses 21 through 28. I'd like to read again, beginning at 15:1. This is the word of the Lord. Let's give our attention to it this morning. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat?" He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you've made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.'" Now our text. "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from this region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she's crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord. Yet, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." And there we'll end the reading of God's word. Well, we really do, beloved, come this morning to the heart of the gospel of, in the gospel of Matthew, of what Matthew, I think, is really intending to show us. This is a crucial section that, as we've been looking at, exposes the very concerns that came out of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to begin there again. I think we can't miss this when Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom. That was a jolting statement, a shocking statement indeed. These were the pastors in Israel. These were the most aspiring people wanted to aspire to be. These were the very sharp, knowledgeable religious leaders who spent so much time devoted to the law of God. But remember what Jesus is doing. He's essentially saying something shocking in our text this morning I don't want us to miss. And it is this great truth, that the religion of the scribes and the Pharisees is altogether a different religion than that of Jesus's. I don't know if you heard that. Altogether different. They had built their own system of righteousness. It was not the religion that came from God. And I think the text today is really capturing this great contrast here for us, maybe one of the most important contrasts in all of Scripture when capturing and showing for us. Maybe you've wondered, what is the Lord after and what does it look like when he wants a true worshiper? Showing us or showcasing for us a heart that's truly cleansed. What does that look like? What kind of religion flows from that? That's what Jesus is after. And that's why this woman is such a unique figure in the Gospels and somebody I think we have to spend some time with to show us what is genuine, to show us what is true in our day, to say, this is authentic. You all know the superficial, external stuff has been very hard on the church's mission and witness. We've all reacted to it. And that's why this text is so important this morning. You know what it is. We've complained about it for years. We have a label for it. We call it Phariseeism. If we can say that Phariseeism is the imposing of some kind of morality as a man-made standard, as we've been looking at, but even using the law of God for self-justification, what we do then is important to study this to see how this religion shows up naturally in the human heart. That's what we've been studying in Matthew's gospel. And typically what we do is we just simply trade one form of Phariseeism for another. Everyone kind of likes to attack the Pharisees. But really, we have to remember it's showing us the religion of the best religion that somebody can give God apart from a cleansed heart. And that's our great problem. So we have here in Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees and the scribes imposing upon the people the tradition of the elders. Now we can do this, can't we? We've looked at this. It's important. We might say, well, the organ is the only way that we could truly worship God. It's just a band in a box, you realize, right? Or the evangelicals who have the big bands, that's the only way that we're going to truly worship God. See, what we do and what we're good at is imposing a standard by which we think the true worship of God can be achieved. And we bypass, in the heart of it, the heart itself. We're all around it. We're all around it. That's why this passage is so important this morning, because then you can begin to see, when you put these two accounts together, exactly what Christ is addressing and what Christ is after. What we have this morning is Jesus showcasing a heart that is truly cleansed. And from that heart comes true worship. Well, those were the issues we looked at last time. I want to show you that with the goal that you would identify with this woman today. That's the goal of this, to identify with this woman, for she is a Gentile. She is a Gentile. That is really us, isn't it? There's a picture and something is put on display for us that is really important for the Christian life. Well, that's my goal today, is to show you this. The issue, of course, of the cleansing of the heart is a big one in Scripture. You cannot go throughout the Old Testament and the New with not seeing how predominant an influence it is to speak about a cleansed heart. Think of all the passages that we have. We sung out from Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." That was David. "Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence." Remember Psalm 24, which I think was kind of to the background of this. "Who can ascend the hill of the Lord, and who can stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." And we can go right to 1 John when John encourages the Christian to come and confess his sins, that something happens for us. When you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to do what? Cleanse you. There's actual cleansing of the heart that happens in Christian ministry. That issue is front and center in Matthew 15. Remember, they came to Jesus, and all the way from Jerusalem, some 80 miles to the top of the Sea of Galilee, and they came to catch him in a trap, and they came and said to him, "Why do your disciples not wash their hands when they eat bread?" Now, it's important. We'll look at this next time, but our ESV translation doesn't have bread there, but it's there in the original. There's three sort of bread incidents here. There's a bread incident that begins with cleansing. Then you have the issue of the Canaanite woman wanting to eat the crumbs of the bread, and then Jesus will go out and feed 4,000 with bread. But the concern was of the Pharisees and the scribes was that Jesus was breaking the tradition of the elders by this cleansing. Remember, 30 chapters in the Mishnah were given on cleansing and the importance of cleansing properly to come before God. They were concerned that this would take place so that people would be cleansed from defilement by the Gentiles. You couldn't even brush up against a Gentile without becoming defiled. So the problem in Israel was clear of what had developed in this religion of Israel was that they had created a system of their own righteousness called the tradition of the elders, and it was this by which they tried to cleanse themselves externally before God. They thought that if the tradition was kept just right, they would then become true worshipers of God. And in the process, Jesus exposes the glaring hypocrisy that they found a way out of actually dealing with the law of God. That's why he raised the fifth commandment last time, remember? Where he said, you guys, they added a little word, Corban, their gift, so that if their parents needed something, if they needed help in old age or money to survive, they didn't have convalescent homes and those sort of things, then they could just say, Corban, it's a gift. We don't have to give it. And he says, you hypocrites, you found a way out of actually hearing and applying the law of God itself for the sake of your tradition. So Jesus reacted strongly. Jesus was aggressive here. He had no time for this. He went after it with both barrels. Why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? Did you hear what he just did? He just said to the, you might say, the strict conservatives, the legalists, he just called them antinomians. I don't know if you caught that. You found a way out to break the law of God. That's why I said legalism and antinomianism, against the law, or legalism that tries to find a way to justify yourself with the law or extra man-made commandments, are just two sides of the same coin. They play off of each other. Both groups can easily set aside the law of God in their own way, with their own standards. Well, Jesus reacted against this. Remember, he quoted Isaiah chapter 28, 29, "In vain do these people worship me, teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men." And what's interesting is if you go back and you look at these texts that are cited in the New Testament from an Old Testament passage, what you'll see is when you read around them, which is what the authors want you to do, surprising things that are said. And this is said right in Isaiah 29, following that statement, "In vain do they teach as commandments the doctrines of men," you find this verse, "The meek shall receive fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." Who would that be? Who would that be? That's crucial for our text this morning. I went through that again because here, remember what Jesus began to apply it. He made a big teaching moment of it when he said, "Hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man." And then Jesus gave, I think, the most sweeping indictment in all of Scripture to apply the doctrine of sin so that people understand how he levels the playing field with the doctrine of sin when he says, "Listen, it's what comes out of the heart that defiles somebody. What comes out of the heart are evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, lusts, fornications, false witness, thefts, blasphemies. This is all constantly pouring out of your hearts." That is just something, isn't it? That's what's defiling you before God. Putting on this, that doesn't make me righteous. It's what's coming out. Remember Cain? Sin is crouching at your door. It's not trying to get in. It's trying to lash out. And that's what happened. He went and killed his brother. The murder started there. So this is what Jesus was teaching to the multitudes. It was a big teaching moment. It's by virtue of your cleansed hearts that all of you are in trouble. God sees it all. Isn't that something about the omniscient eye of the Lord? He sees everything coming out of the heart. I mean, what do people do when they sin? They try to close the shades. They try to close doors. The heart's wide open. He sees it all. Now, you can see why it would be such an issue with Jesus to have a whole religion that would try to cleanse itself externally and think that's how people get to God, right? It's begging the question, what is needed, and what then would produce true worship? What could be done to have the heart dealt with this way so that what comes out is from a purified heart? That's the issue. What does that look like? How do I know if I have it? And this is where I stop and say, well, welcome to the Canaanite woman. You really can't appreciate what happens with the Canaanite woman until you understand all that background. The Canaanite woman is remarkable. The Canaanite woman shines in Scripture in such a rare way. Jesus, did you hear him at the end? "Oh, woman." I don't know how he said it. I would have loved to have been there. "Great is your faith. Everyone look, that's what I'm after." That leads us to this glorious passage. Jesus encounters something the Jew could have never imagined or would never have wanted to imagine. In verse 21, he arose from there and went to Tyre and Sidon. Don't miss that. He had been just assaulted by the religious leaders who had come from Jerusalem. It's like coming from Grand Rapids. We all said that's the heart of it in America, isn't it? Reformed theology. This is where they came from. And Jesus departed out to hem it. He did that on purpose. He knew right where he was going. And he had an appointment. Verse 25, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Matthew says she's a Canaanite. Isn't that interesting? Mark says Tyre and Sidon, Canaanite. Canaanite. They were the most unclean people all throughout history that Israel despised and whom Israel was to wipe off the face of the earth. They were despised by the Jews. These were the people whom the Lord would execute her in warfare on one day. Well, notice here, she came to Jesus and she just keeps asking. She just keeps asking. "Would you cast this demon out of my daughter, please?" What a love for her daughter. And if you've had children afflicted, you know the pain of this. She is deeply burdened. It's interesting what she says. "Son of David." The issue will come up later in Matthew, but I want you to remember this maybe. Later in Matthew, remember what happens? Jesus says to the Pharisees, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They say, "The son of David." Jesus says, "Doesn't David call him," now listen carefully, "doesn't David call him Lord? If he does, how is he his son?" Jesus was making clear that the Lord God is the son of David.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad that you joined us. We hope you'll join us next time for part two of this message in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.